You know, it seems like I start a lot of messages with in the world today, and maybe I shouldn't have to, but you know, it's true that in the world today, so many people seem to feel the same way about other people. They have a one-sided view of the love and mercy that they're supposed to have and they're supposed to show, and the love and mercy that Adonai has and shows. Their love and what they think of Adonai's love is that he loves me and he loves those who are just like me. And conversely, they feel the same way. I just love everybody who's just like me, who thinks like me, who looks like me. You know, but that's not the way Adonai is, right? We have to remember, Adonai doesn't think the same way that we think. Yeah, thank goodness is right. We also have to remember that just because we think one way now doesn't mean that's the only way we're ever going to think. We can learn to think differently. We can change as Adonai wants us to change. And I believe that Jeremiah 12 is a great example of the love that God has for all of his people that he created. And how his thinking is so far above our own. Look at what we read in Jeremiah 12. The chapter starts off with the way that really people or the flesh think. And I'm not saying the unbeliever, but everyone made of flesh thinks this way at some time or another. So let's read Jeremiah 12, 1 through 3. Righteous are you, Adonai, when I plead my case with you, yet I speak with you about justice. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do all the treacherous thrive? You planted them, so they've taken root. They are growing, bearing fruit. You are near in their mouth, yet far from their mind. But you have known me, Adonai. You see me and examine my heart towards you. Drag them off like sheep for slaughter. Set them apart for the day of carnage. So what we hear here is a bit of us versus them. Even Israel versus the world. That kind of thinking, separating. Here we're told that there are people that want to tear Israel. And they have no good thoughts towards them at all. And Jeremiah is complaining to Adonai and says, here I am, you know me. You examine my heart. You know who I am. And these people are against me. And therefore, they're against you too, Adonai. So what should you do, Adonai? You should drag them away to slaughter. You should cause them to be carnage and death, unable to hurt me or any of your people ever again. And this is not an uncommon way to think in the world that we live in today. Adonai, you bless me, but those unbelievers do them harm. You should remove and kill them so that they can't hurt me or anyone else of your people. We have all thought this at one time or another, I bet. And perhaps for you, it's been a while. That's really great. But many, especially in the world today, think this all the time. And if they don't think of it as prayer to God, they want to have vengeance themselves because they think, who else is going to do it for them? Who else is going to protect them? Here is where we start to see the different thinking of men and Adonai. We read in the middle part of the chapter of Jeremiah 12 that Adonai knows what's going on. He knows them. He knows who they are. But does that mean he feels the same way about them? Look what we read towards the end, starting in verse 14 of Jeremiah 12. Thus says Adonai, as for all my evil neighbors who strike at the inheritance that I bequeathed to my people Israel, I am about to uproot them from their land and pluck the house of Judah from them. Adonai is going to remove the evil neighbors, the Gentiles that are fighting against the people Israel. And everyone says, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. They're bad people. Bad things should happen to them. Jeremiah earlier made clear how he feels about those who come against him and come against God's people. This seems like a righteous request. Lord, they hate you and your people, so do away with them. But this is really the cry of a human heart, made by flesh of men. Is it the way that Adonai looks at them? Is it the real heart of Adonai? Let's continue to read in Jeremiah 12. Let's read Jeremiah 12, 15. Yet it will come to pass, after I have uprooted them, that I will again have compassion on them, and I will bring them back, each one to his inheritance, and each one to his land. Now, if I read this out of context, just that verse alone, you know, we're talking about people who are uprooted for being evil. And then Adonai having compassion on them and bringing them back to the land that he was giving them. You know, everyone's going to say he's speaking about the Jewish people. Of course he is. They're sent out for their exile for sins. But by the love of God, Israel will be returned back to the land that Adonai's given them. However, we've already read here in Jeremiah, in this section of Jeremiah, that this is not about the Jewish people, but the people that were evil Gentiles towards Israel. Adonai says that these are evil neighbors who strike out at the land that he gave to his people Israel. But he does have a plan for them. Don't you worry about that. He is going to pluck out Judah, separate them from Israel like chaff from wheat. We know that he will send away those who fight against Israel and those that we believe fight against us. He is, but then we have to read. Then we have to read verse 15, though. Because in verse 15, we're told by the prophet Jeremiah that these people were given an inheritance of land by Adonai. And that they're going to be returned back to it. And now we continue to read. Listen to the instructions to these Gentiles that are being brought back to their land. Jeremiah 12, starting in 16 and 17. So it will come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people, to swear by my name, as Adonai lives, just as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then they will be built up in the midst of my people. But if they do not obey, then I will uproot that nation, plucking it up and destroying it. It is a declaration of Adonai. The Gentiles are to go from previously enticing Israel to follow the Baals, the false gods, to now enticing them to follow Adonai and the Torah. If you remember the story of Balaam and Balak, right? Balaam was called to curse Israel, but he was not allowed to by Adonai. But after that, he went to Balak and say, hey, look, if you really want to hurt these people, send your women in. Let them mingle with the men. They'll entice them. And then they'll start following those false gods. Then they'll be separated from you. So what was it that these Gentile people were to do when they were taken back into their own land, though? It says they are to diligently learn the ways of Adonai's people. What does that mean? Are they to take on the Torah so that they could entice the Jewish people to live a life of Torah? Quite the question. The word way in verse 16, derek, and it's defined according to Strong's definitions as figuratively a course of life or a mode of action. So how do you say they are to learn Torah without saying learn Torah? It's saying that the Gentiles are due to do the things that the Jewish people should be doing so that they can reteach them to do the things of Torah. Reteach the Jewish people. What we have then is the Gentiles doing the things of Torah and the Jewish people doing the things of Torah. Now, if you remember last week, I spoke on Mitzvot versus Torah. And I said that many interchange the words, but there was a bit of a difference. I said that mitzvot are the ways that you do the Torah. And here Jeremiah says that the Gentiles have to learn to do the mitzvot instead of doing the Torah. I was scratching. I wasn't pointing. Does that mean that they're not to follow the Torah? I don't think so. If you're doing all the mitzvot of Adonai, aren't you really just doing the Torah? When we look around the scriptures, we see this word derek used as way in a few places saying the same thing. For example, if we look at Psalm 119, we read this. Psalm 119, starting in verse 1. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the Torah of Adonai. Happy are those who keep his testimony, who seek him with a whole heart, who also do no injustice, but walk in his ways. Now, the King James Version says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, comma, who walk in the law of the Lord. They walk undefiled in the way. They do the mitzvot completely and are righteous. Keep his mitzvot and therefore keep his Torah. By doing this, they will be happy and blessed by Adonai. Now we also have the same language in Deuteronomy 5. Moses reviewing with the people what they're told when they were at Mount Sinai. Moses tells the people that Adonai said this to them, Deuteronomy 5:29. So you must take care to do as Adonai your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. You are to walk in all the way that Adonai your God has commanded you, so that you may live in it and may be well with you, and you may prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Walk in the way, derech, of your God, so that your days will be prolonged and blessed. There are some these are just some examples in the Tanakh, the Old Testament, of the usage of derech, for the word way, to tell the Gentiles to walk in the way of the Jewish people, or Torah. As in Jeremiah, but there are also examples in the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant, with the instructions of Adonai were also called the way. Acts 24:14, when Saul was brought before Governor Felix to defend himself and his actions, this is what he said. Acts 24:14. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything written in the Torah and the prophets. In God I have hope, which these men also wait for, that there will surely be a resurrection of both the righteous and the unrighteous. Both will be judged in that final day, he's saying. Shaul was not confessing a new religion or a replacement of what was for the Jewish people, but a continuation of what Adonai has put in place from the very beginning. He said that the people of the way, which were both Jews and Gentiles, that were believing that the Messiah came and is Yeshua, and that he taught the Torah, and that as followers of Adonai, they were just doing what Adonai had instructed from the very start. Both Jews and Gentiles were instructed by the same set of instructions, and their salvation is of the same source, the blood that is now the Messiah Yeshua. He says that the way, the method of living, the code that's to be followed, the instructions of Torah are for everyone. I find it interesting that Shaul says that those people, both the Jews and the Gentiles, who were following Torah and Yeshua, were called a sect. It's kind of a word we hear every once in a while about Messianic Judaism, too. The false teaching then about the correct thinking is the same as it is now. Just as Adonai has continued the remnant, so has Satan continued the pressures upon them to discredit those who are right thinking. It was just a few chapters earlier that James, also known as Yaakov or Jacob, the brother of Yeshua, said this when Peter, also called Simon, and Shaul, also called Paul, said to us, also called the people, no wait, that's too far, came to Jerusalem to see if the Gentiles had to be circumcised in order to be allowed into the synagogues. And James said this in Acts 15:13. After they finished speaking, Jacob answered, "Brothers, listen to me. Simon has described how God first showed his concern by taking from the Gentiles a people for his name. The words of the prophets agree, as it is written, 'After this, I will return and rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, so that the rest of humanity may see the Lord, namely, all the Gentiles who are called by my name,' says Adonai, who makes these things known from of old." The Gentiles who are called to Adonai were to know the things that were from old, which is the Torah. Therefore, it is the Gentiles who are to know the Torah so that they are called by his name. Then it goes on from there to say that they only need to do four things to get into the synagogue. Picking back up at verse 15. Did I miss number? Yeah, verse 19. "Therefore, I judge not to trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning from God, but to write to them to abstain from the contamination of idols and from sexual immorality and from what is strangled and from blood." James says to trouble them with only these to start. But he doesn't stop talking there. He keeps going on. And he says this, verse 21. For Moses from ancient generations has had in every city those who proclaim him, since he has raided all the synagogues on every Shabbat. So what we hear is that Moses, or the books of Moses, or the Torah, is read in every city and in all of the synagogues on every Shabbat. The question for us to answer is then, why bring the Gentiles into the synagogue where the Torah is read every week, if not to learn the Torah? Are we to say, come into our synagogue because this is where the blood of Messiah Yeshua is taught? But you don't have to listen when we read the Torah every week. No, that'd be silly. How would they know what the blood was, why the blood had power in it, if they didn't know Leviticus? We cannot bring in Gentiles into a synagogue of Adonai and tell them not to read and follow the foundational things of Adonai. There is only one set of instructions. James says to come in, they will only need to do the four things. But that is not where they were to stay, spiritually or in the actions that they do. Adonai moves forward, and so must all who are in Adonai. What are they to move forward in? There's only one thing to move forward in, and that's the word that Adonai gave to all the world, which are the things of Torah. Jeremiah says that when the people come back into their inheritance, when the Gentiles come back into their inheritance, they will learn the ways of his people. And therefore, there will be peace in the world when that happens. And he wasn't alone in saying this word. Hear the word from Isaiah, chapter 19. Isaiah 19, starting in 23. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrians will come to Egypt, and the Egyptians to Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day Israel will be the third, along with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth. For Adonai Tzevaot is blessed, For Adonai Tzevaot has blessed, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. Notice, the Gentiles are not just tolerated, but there's this merging. Perhaps we really should be saying re-merging of the people. This highway runs through Israel. And from one end to the other, from Egypt to Assyria, Gentiles and Jews will be blessed. In fact, listen to the words used to describe Egypt and Assyria. Adonai says that these former enemies of Israel, he calls Egypt my people and Assyria my handiwork. These words were used before to describe Israel. Now it's being used for the Gentiles as well. For they are also his people, and he doesn't see them differently than all of his people. This is what's described in Isaiah 11, when people will live together. We know a lot of this scripture. We remember it. The wolf will dwell with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the kid. The calf with the young lion and the yearling together. And a child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze. The young ones lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. A nursing child will play by a cobra's hole. And a weaned child will put his hand into a viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of Adonai as the waters cover the sea. It will also come about in that day that the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will seek for him, and his resting place will be glorious. In the end, there will be peace among all of his creation. Now, what's the difference between those final days and now? What's the difference between now and those days when there's going to be peace? It's that Satan will be removed from the equation. The people will be acting again as the people he created them to be. One in unity, one in peace. Satan will be removed and peace will reign and the Lord will be king of the world. This was the plan from Genesis 3 when Satan enticed Adam and Eve to sin and they were removed from the garden. This is the picture of all men returning to the garden and returning to the relationship with Adonai that he originally intended and created them to be. For Adonai, there is no doubt that this will happen. Therefore, for us, we must also have no doubt that this will happen. And we should not be an we shouldn't stop it. I can't pronounce that word. It has too many syllables. We shouldn't get in the way. Our heart and our attitudes shouldn't hinder what's going on. Even now, our feelings towards others must not be the thing that gets in the way. The question that we need to ask is, how should we act until the day to come comes? Should we say, things will change then, so I can be whoever I want to be now, doing whatever I want? We are the people of Adonai, and we are to resist Satan. And when we resist, he must flee from us. So I encourage you, Adonai did not create Torah for some of his creation. He didn't create Torah to be forgotten. He didn't create Torah not to be followed for a while. He did not create Torah as something temporary. But Torah is that sure foundation that all the world must build upon so that our houses do not get blown away in the storms of life, in the storms of the world. And it is for Jews and Gentiles. The Gentile is to entice, to make them jealous. How? By doing the mitzvot of Torah. How do you say do the Torah without saying do the Torah? By telling to do the mitzvot of the Torah. Same thing. Father, we thank you and praise you that you've given us your Torah. All of your people were given the Torah. For you love all of your people as you created all of men. We say your people. What we really mean is you created all flesh. And you love all that you created. You created all the world. And you love all the world, including the animals and the plants. You created the universe. And I know you have a love for everything you created. Father, I thank you for this word of unity, that you are a God of unity. Help us to be a people of unity. Draw us close to you, and we will become closer to each other. Help us show and shine and reflect the love that is you. We just thank you and praise you. And everyone said, amen and amen. All right, I'm going to ask